The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is PWS Hall of Famer, the Thunderheart, Jay George, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
God damn.
Welcome everybody listening on the Rant, rantiumradio.com. We're doing a little pre-show tonight for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This is, of course, Tony from the Shining Wizards. I am waiting for Kevin to call in right now. And we're just going to cover a little bit of this and that. I got the stats so far from our Shining Wizards Cup tournament. Don't forget to play along with us on Twitter or on the Facebook. Become our friend on Facebook, facebook.com/wizardspodcast. If you're following us on the Twitter at Wizards Podcast, search up hashtag Shining Wizards Cup 2020. Because this is such a great idea, we're going to probably be running this every year. I don't know if we're going to be able to go through 64 tag teams again. We'll be getting a lot of headaches back and forth here and there, each and everywhere, because of people getting pissed off that such and such team wasn't included, such and such team lost. You know, it's been a good time, but there's been a lot of complaining, and we've talked about that before. So now I'm just waiting for Kevin. You know what? I'm going to try calling Kevin. Let me see if I can call Kevin up. See, I hate Skype. Why can't they just let me press K for Kevin? Why does it always have to be so difficult? Why is technology hard? I don't understand. Kevin Barifos. Here we go. I think Kevin's on standby. Yeah, this is Skype. I don't know when that's from, but let's try giving him a call. Let's see what we got. All right, let's see. I'm calling Kevin now. Let's see if I get him on the phone. Bloop, 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 bloop. Sounds like a goddamn fucking sonar looking for a fish. Oh, we're connecting to Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen. Is he connecting? I wanted to give him a good intro. It just says connecting. Whoop, whoop. I don't know what that was. Kevin is unavailable. What? Bitch, you better get on Skype. You better ask somebody. Where are you, Kev? Oh. I'm gonna call him now. Let's try this again. Bloop, bloop. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Whoop, whoop. Kevin is on it. What? Oh, Kev, you are killing me, dude. Why are you unavailable? Why are you unavailable, Kevin? Why you no love me? Kevin, I wait for you. You no help me. Oh, he's telling me to hold on. Well, while I'm holding on, I'm waiting for my boy Kevin Garifo, a very funny man. Unfortunately, he's not at Tierney's this week because nobody's at Tierney's because of this god-awful bullshit that we're going through. Oh, Kevin hung up on me. What a dork. Why would you do that? I thought you loved me. He's telling me to hold on a sec. Well, while he's holding on a sec, I've got results here. And if you haven't been watching Matt's videos on YouTube, you got to get on that because they're hysterical. They're amazing. He does a great job. For somebody that always complains that he's technology, like, not up to par, I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. He's actually doing a hell of a job with it. He's pulling up graphics. He's working on, like, 10 different things at once. And he's giving you all the stats. And the stats that really killed everything, it was amazing. And I don't even have everything in front of me, but I can tell you the one that I was very surprised of, well, surprised, not surprised, was Hawkins and Ryder making it into the field of, what should we call it, the field of 32, which is pretty wild if you think about it. Kevin is having a lot of technical difficulties. I'm not sure if he's going to be joining us tonight, but we will see. He's actually just texting me that he's having a lot of problems with his connections. So I don't even really know what else to cover here. I mean, I've got literally half of the stats. Oh, you know what I could do? I could go into the stats right now.
I could go into the stats for what's happening currently in the tournament. Right now, from what I see, and this is what we have posted today, we've got the Young Bucks, who are number 2 seed, going against the number 10 seed Strikeforce. And, of course, at this moment, Strikeforce is not looking too good. The Young Bucks easily running away with this, but there are still 2 days left. That's in the Tecmo Team 2000 region. 2000. Why am I talking like an idiot? We got a barn burner here, also from Tecmo Team 2000 region. Hanson and Brody, the number 11 seeds, with a slight lead right now on Jimmy and Jay, the Usos. Now, folks, these are stats for Facebook. I am not checking the Twitter at this time. Twitter's a little bit of a different beast, but this is what's going on Facebook. Lucha Brothers, the number 5 seed, beating the number 4 seed Beer Money, doing a little better than Brody and Hanson are against the Usos, but it's still a pretty close race. 57% right now for the Lucha Brothers. The Rockers are getting slaughtered. Number 9 seed, they are losing handily to the Hardy Boys right now. Hardy Boys, number 1 seed, completely understandable. Jeff Hardy actually went all the way to the finals in the Sting of the Ring this past summer. So he's no stranger to winning Shining, well, getting far in Shining Wizards tournaments, I'll put it that way. Hawkins and Ryder, number 15, not doing so well against the number 7 seeded Nasty Boys, but they've pulled more out of their hats already. Who knows how this is going to go? And that's with the Conquistadors. And right away, Mr. Kevin Joseph Garifo joining me on the hotline. What's up, brother?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing much, man. I was just going over the current ongoings in the Shining Wizards Cup 2020. And who did Hawkins and Ryder beat in the first round as the 15 seed, by the way? Can you hear me? Look at you! You're trying to set up a
What's
camera.
That?
Look at all
swaps. Who did they beat?
Who did Hawkins and Ryder beat in the first round? Was it the New Age Outlaws?
Trying to do a little studio here. Ah, whoops! Down goes Savage.
I know, but the funny thing is,
Sting action, little banner.
Nobody can see you at this point, though, dude. It's just you and me. We're talking to everybody on the rant.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get a screen cap of that. I love this. This is awesome.
Figure maybe you'd say. I did it for you, Tony.
I know you did it for me, and it looks great. I was starting to get worried that you weren't joining me tonight. I didn't know what was happening. There you go. Got the nice big screen right there. How did you take pictures last time? I don't even remember. Oh, take a snapshot. There you go. Boom. There's KJG. Looking handsome
Shining
and dapper.
Took a snap.
It's beautiful.
Gross.
So the Nasty Boys are beating up on your boys, Ryder and Hawkins. What do you got to say? You think they're going to turn things around?
They 100% will turn things around. Not only will they turn things around, they will win.
I mean, they're losing almost. It's 59-41 at this moment. There's still 2 days left, but, you know, like I said, they won the first round. They beat a number 2 seed. I don't know if they're going to have a good time against the Nasty Boys, but if anybody could do it, it's your boys.
Dude,
go ahead.
I'll tell you. Do I want to break down the fourth wall completely?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. That's what we're here for.
All right, so I'm in a group, a Facebook group for the major pod.
All right,
wait,
major
wrestling figure podcast.
Kevin's dropping names again. Go ahead.
It's anyone can join. It's their I'm gonna keep this a secret.
No, come on, man. You're dropping info on us. You can't cut us out in the middle of it. What do you know?
Yeah, because I will tell you, but it's. I don't think they're going to lose, by the way, at all. I think they're going to win the whole thing.
They're calling out the cavalry? That's cool.
No, they're not. I am.
All right. Well, look, it is what it is. It's the tournament. That's what we're here for. We're here to have some fun. You're going to piss a lot of people off that think Hawkins and Ryder shouldn't go any further. As a matter of fact.
They should have lost the first round.
Well, no, understand.
But,
okay, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. You know that you guys want to see a 15 seed in the Sweet 16. What do the Nasty Boys ever do besides ride Hogan's coattails? That's from our boy Mott Spock. Alex Bivrovsky, who's one of our top fans. How is this a tie right now? I guess this is earlier. Ryders and Hawkins were and are the shits. His words,
wow.
Not mine. Matt says...
How do I know... Is Mott Spock a Patreon guy? How do I know him?
Mott Spock's
I feel like
a
he's
Patreon
in...
guy, yes. No, he's in favor of your boys. He's got your boys back. It's this guy Alex that hates them right now. Matt says,
I think Motzbach is in that group.
Okay, so you know he's probably going to be helping you out, helping your boys win this thing. Matt writes, I love a good Cinderella story and I hate the Nasty Boys. Baza says team collectibles. Dan Lopez says, let's end this Ryder Hawkins fuckery.
Just for that, I want him to win. I want him to win every year.
I don't know what this has to do with anything, but someone named Kevin says Shining Wizards Kevin is a Russian asset. I don't know what that means. Carlos says Nasty Boys. The Ultimate Horrier says fuck the Nasty Boys. And Ben Roberts says they are as nasty as they want to be, baby. I love this, dude. I love that people are participating and loving this shit. Speaking of which, number 3 Harlem Heat, very close with number 6 seed of British Bulldogs in the Conquistadors.
Did you see my interaction with Stevie Ray on the book today?
No. Tell me about it.
I tagged. I got a name drop. So I tagged him in I shared the post from the Shining Wizards page, and I shared it on my own personal one, and I tagged him in it saying, Stevie Ray, what do you think of this dream matchup? And he's like, everyone's making fun of me for like shamelessly tagging Stevie Ray in it. And he responded. He's like, that would be a good matchup. And I'm like, sure would, buddy.
Yeah, at least he didn't fucking throw you under the bus like all these other people are ready to do. Fuck them all anyway. Demolition is...
Like, what do you mean?
No, I mean, because people give you shit for name dropping Stevie Ray and trying to get some attention from him, and he loved it. It's like,
it was my buddy. He was just,
you had the Broken Skull IPA and you sent it out to Steve Austin that you were enjoying some beverages, and he gave you the thumbs up. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. It's a cool interaction.
But apparently he does that with everybody, so I felt a little less special.
You're still special. You're still corporate Kevin.
That's right.
And I still love you, buddy.
Right back at you, Slick.
Demolition is destroying the Midnight Express right now. 64%, the number 5 now, seed against the number 4 seeded Express.
That'll be the real travesty of justice if that happens.
Why? Demolition rules, dude. Everybody calls them a Legion of Doom ripoff, and I completely 100% disagree with that.
Well, they weren't.
Because they had face paint and wore leather. Come on, dude.
Bruce Pritchard said it.
Well, Bruce Pritchard's an idiot. You believe half the shit that he says?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, I was there. I know it all. I don't know. Demolition was definitely not a ripoff.
But what did they do? They had what? A run from what? 88 to 89? 91?
Yeah. I mean, by the time they were bringing Crush in, it was kind of over. But, dude, they were dominant. Your second ever three-time tag team champions. Was that against Katao and fucking Tenryu? Oh, well, fuck that shit. They were already out the door at that point.
Exactly. Oh,
come on, dude. They beat Strikeforce and they got a fucking pop for it at WrestleMania 5? Was it WrestleMania 4 or 5?
No, well, they beat... Yeah, it was 5 where they beat Strikeforce.
Yeah, No, it had to have been 4.
Because 6 they beat...
No, because at WrestleMania 5, that was when Strikeforce broke up. So it wasn't that WrestleMania.
Oh, that was Brainbusters, I think, right?
They lost to Brainbusters on the main event, and then they won it back from Brainbusters not too much longer later. And then they dropped them to Colossal Connection and won it back at WrestleMania 6.
Yes. Well, I'm talking about I'm still talking about Strikeforce.
Oh, Strikeforce won the belts. No, when the hell when did they win the belts? They beat the Hearts on like Superstars? When the fuck did they win the belts?
But didn't they?
They lost to Demolition at WrestleMania 5.
No, wasn't that the match where the Strike Force broke up against the Brainbusters?
Yeah, that was WrestleMania 5. WrestleMania 4 was... I gotta look this up.
Because WrestleMania 5, I think they broke up in a match with the Brainbusters. I think
they did. But I don't remember what WrestleMania that was. I thought it was... Did they break up in Canada?
I thought it was 5.
Which means they would have won the titles. They would have lost the titles of Demolition at WrestleMania 4 because they lost them a year earlier. Let me see.
Check it out.
I'm looking. Yes, WrestleMania 4. Demolition beat Strikeforce. So it had to have been WrestleMania 5 where they broke up against the Brainbusters. Had to. They both happened at Trump Plaza.
Yeah, and then because Demolition would get the belts, because there's a whole big controversy where when the Brainbusters won the belts, they didn't defend them at SummerSlam. The match against the Hart Foundation was a non-title match, and I remember the commentary was like, "Well, why wouldn't they defend the belts?" I'm like, "Well, the match," and Jesse Ventura was like, "The match was signed before they won the belt, so it was a non-title match."
Yeah,
because there were no titles.
Yeah, here, WrestleMania 5, the Brainbusters defeated Strikeforce. That was when Ricky Martel walked out and he found himself some arrogance. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, and they didn't even pay that feud off at a major pay-per-view.
Which one? With the because I think the Brainbusters...
Martel and...
Oh, that? No, they didn't. They wound up just wrestling a little bit on the house show loop, and then that was it. And then they just fucking completely forgot about it. Kind of strange.
Yeah, that was disappointing. That had WrestleMania 6 written all over it.
Yeah, it should have. It would have been cool as hell. But you know what? Then maybe going into WrestleMania 6...
Or SummerSlam.
Maybe going into WrestleMania 6, they might have been afraid that Martel was going to be cheered too much. I don't know. But then again, at WrestleMania 6, wasn't that the blindfold match with Jake?
No, that was 7.
That was seven. Then what the hell did Martel do at WrestleMania 6?
I think he had a job match, I think, against Coco Beware.
Oh, God. So he beat WrestleMania. He beat Coco Beware at that WrestleMania? That's... All right, I got to look this up.
I think. Look it up. I'm pretty sure it is.
Rick Martel defeated Coco Beware in the opening contest.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a model.
And I think Tito. And I think Tito was in. A six man.
I'm looking. Orient Express. Let me see. Tito was definitely at WrestleMania 6. Where the hell is he? Paul Roma defeated.
Maybe he wasn't.
Paul Roma defeated the Brooklyn Bull. No, he lost to the Barbarian. No, Tito Santana. Was one of like four guys that was in the first 9 WrestleManias. I forget. It used to be some sort of trivia question. I remember for some reason from so long ago.
So he lost to the Barbarian?
Yes. Yes. At WrestleMania 6.
That was right after Powers of Pain must have split up too.
Yeah, because the Warlord also wrestled on had this as well.
Yeah, he had a match with Bulldog, I think. Was that 6? Or was that 7?
That might be 7 because I don't see the Warlord on here actually. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe no. With the no. All right.
No Warlord. Oh well. Let's finish up this. Let's finish up what we have here. So Steiner Brothers are destroying Owen Hart and the British Bulldog, number 1 seeded Steiner Brothers. No surprise there, really. Arn and Tully and Los Guerreros kind of close. Arn and Tully have 61% right now. You surprised by that? Or?
No, I mean, listen, people, and which is like, I'm kind of like hypocritical when I say this because like I can't blast somebody for voting for say like, let's see, all right, let's just say for shits and giggles, I thought that Los Guerreros were the superior, far and away better team than Tully and Arn.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. But I can't hate on somebody for voting for Arn and Tully for whatever reason they want. There's no criteria. There's no. Exactly. I mean, if you want to say it should be who was the better team, that's all right. But there really should be no criteria. I'm voting for Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder every round, for Christ's sake.
Dude, I just love that you're sitting on your front porch and you have your Shining Wizards mug and your Shining Wizards banner behind you. This is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't find any of my pens to put in here. I wanted to put pens in there.
Well, if you need more, I got plenty of them. Once this fucking disaster's over, you can come get some.
Going for like a Tonight Show theme. We got some figures set up here.
Oh, I like it. I like that. Macho Man. I like it. So Arn and Tully are winning.
KB exclusive.
Whoa. That's cool as hell, dude.
Yeah.
I got my world champion Drew Gulak if you want me to put him on camera.
I love Gulak. He's getting a hell of a push.
He is. He might be getting an intercontinental title match at Mania. Did I read that right?
No. If he beats Shinsuke tonight, then Daniel Bryan gets an intercontinental title.
Oh,
match.
Then Daniel Bryan gets it. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That was a little off. So, yeah. So, number 2 seed Arn and Tully seem to be running away right now against Los Guerreros. Number 3 seeded Rock and Roll Express running away against the Fabulous Freebirds, the number 6 seed. Not really surprised at that one either. I mean, it's the fucking Rock and Rolls, dude. Hell of a matchup, though. Interesting matchup.
And, but going back to the Midnights, like, again, and actually, it's a weird connection because wasn't the original member of the Midnight Express also the first Smash? Randy.
No, Randy Cully wasn't in the Midnight Express. You're thinking of Dennis Condrey.
Ah, Dennis Condrey.
Yes, Dennis Condrey. He was the original guy. Close, but as a matter of fact, Randy Cully was Moondog's spot. I believe he was Moondog's spot.
All right. Yeah, he was. Randy Colley was Moondog. But, and he was the Demolition. He was the original Smash.
Yes. And then they brought
Condry teamed with Stan Lane as the first incarnation of the Midnights, right?
No, with Beautiful Bobby. Stan Lane replaced.
Are you sure?
Yes. It was Sweet Stan and it was Bobby and Dennis. Loverboy Dennis Condry and Beautiful Bobby. And then Loverboy Dennis Condry one day just stopped showing up for shit. So they brought in Stan Lane. Absolutely 100%.
I believe you.
And isn't it funny that Stan Lane was part of the Fantastics and then he became part of the Midnight Express? He wasn't the Fantastics, wasn't he? Or am I thinking of a different team?
You're thinking of... Is that Bobby Fulton?
Is that Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers? Then what the hell team was Stan Lane part of?
It was Steve Kern. It was Steve Kern and...
No, that was the Fabulous Ones. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's Steve
that's
Kern.
That's Stan Lane and Skinner, yes.
And the Fantastics were Bobby...
That was Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers, yes. Yeah. God, I'm getting my fucking high-flying 80s tag teams mixed up. The Fantastics didn't even make it into our tournament. That's how packed this tournament was, Kevin.
That's right. The elite teams come out for the Shining Wizards Cup 2020.
This one surprises me. Heart Foundation, number 4 seed in the Mulkey region, destroying the Miracle Violence Connection, the number 5 seed. It's practically 80-20, dude. Are you surprised at that? I'm kind of surprised at that. That's a big gap.
I'm only surprised because Miracle Violence Connection won the first round. That's the only reason. I'm more surprised they won the first round.
Really?
Well, I'm surprised that they won the first round and they're getting crushed now. It makes no sense to me that they won the first round if they're just going to get smoked by. Like, who do they beat in the first round?
The Kings of Wrestling here on Castagnoli.
Yeah, I'm surprised they won that.
Really?
And getting destroyed so handily by the Heart Foundation. I just thought that if you're going to pick them to win that, you're going to pick them to win every match.
Well, one of them that you were kind of like chomping at the bit at was the Road Warriors against the Outsiders. 77% for the number 1 seeded Road Warriors in the Mulkey region. Not a great showing from your boys, but you got a soft spot for them, huh?
Who, the Outsiders?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but then I was kind of put in my place.
By who?
I forget.
A lot of people?
He made very good points. I forget who it was.
Was it Baza? Baza says, the Road Warriors changed tag team wrestling. Hall and Nash shut down WCW by leading the draining of it. And then you replied, that's actually a great point.
Yeah, that was it. It was Baza then.
Wow.
Because he's right. No, if you look at the tag team titles in WCW, when the Outsiders got them, they had feud them with Luger and Giant, Steiner Brothers, occasional matches with Harlem Heat, Public Enemy, but then the tag titles just go away like 6 times.
But that's what I mean. Like, they were splitting up. They were having singles matches to determine the tag champs. Like, that's how fucked up it was getting at that point.
Yeah, and then like the Steiners would beat them, but then Eric Bischoff would take the belts back, and then.
Yeah.
It was a big cluster, so I agreed with Baza. I don't think I changed my vote, though. I think I still had the Outsiders.
Edge and Christian, the number 2 seed in the High Voltage region, destroying. And when I say destroying, it's on fucking Harlem Heat first round numbers. 96% over Eminem. No surprise about that victory, but, I mean, there's still a day left, but that's a tough hill to climb. 4% for Eminem.
Yeah, I feel like people don't give... The later generations of, I mean, don't get me wrong, Edge and Christian should be a clean sweep, shutout. But in general, I don't feel like people respect or like that more modern era tag teams.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling too. And it's like we talked about, I think you get more of the older folk focusing on teams from back in the day on Facebook, and you tend to get like more people on Twitter supporting the younger teams. That's the way it's been coming across anyway, like for the most part. Interesting one here. Number 3, Briscoes. Number 11, Hollywood Blondes in a dead heat. 50%, 50%.
Wow.
This is a great match on paper, and it's a great fantasy match to have people going back and forth. It's got quite a few underneath it already for comments.
And this is just Facebook that you're looking at right now?
This is just Facebook. So, yeah, I made that clear because Twitter could be a whole nother thing going on. Also interesting, Undisputed Era, 58% as a 5 seed over New Day, number 4 seed, with 42%. Looks like Undisputed Era, one of the younger teams, is going to be making a push to the Sweet 16 at this point.
Not if Xavier Woods has anything to say about it.
Well, like I said, I don't know what's going on in the Twitter universe, so that could be completely crazy. And it looks like our opening match, the Dudleys, 88% over the number 9 seeded Wild Samoans with 12%. That's the number 1 versus the number 9 in the high voltage region. Kind of surprised the Wild Samoans aren't doing better considering these are Facebook numbers.
Nah.
That's all I have to, just because it's on Facebook, I would think a lot more people would come out for the Samoans, but we make the argument all the time, probably the most decorated tag team in wrestling history, the Dudleys, whether you love them or hate them, they pretty much did it all when they could do it all at that point in time.
Did you mention how, because last time I checked, the Hardy Boys were absolutely crushing the Rockers?
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned that earlier. I might have gotten to that before you were on. I'm not 100%. Yes, I did. Yeah, 69%. That's
okay. It was like 90 something when I saw before.
Okay. Yeah, you must have caught it when it just dropped because that matchup came up a couple hours ago. So yeah, but the weight's gone back. Not a whole hell of a lot. It's still 69-31, but yeah, the Rockers have moved up a bit from when you last saw it then.
That's
pretty crazy. Dude, I love this. I know our boys over at Turnbuckle Throwbacks love it. They were talking about this for a good 5-10 minutes yesterday. And what it does is like takes people's minds off of everything else that's going on. It's sparking conversation. Like everything they talked about is everything that we've been talking about. It's just a great time. And it's just, you know, it's just a lot of.
Are they recording tonight?
Yes. They're going to be live in about a half an hour before, you know, after we get off with this thing. Any other bits and notes that you may have had from the tournament that you want to cover? Anything else you want to bring up or?
Yeah, I kind of wish I fought more for other teams.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I wish I put more energy, like the same effort I put in to getting my friends and people to vote for Hawkins and Ryder. I wish I put it for a couple other teams, specifically Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas.
Well, they were in. They were in the
first.
But
they lost.
Yeah, all right. Oh, you mean like in terms of votes?
Yeah, in terms of trying to get people to vote on more polls.
Okay. I mean, like, look, it was like 5 months removed from when we had this thing together. We had this thing ready to roll out around September, October, but then we got everything.
Oh, yeah, but I mean.
We had everything going on with the anniversary show. We had a lot of shit going on at that point, especially with Christmas coming up. We shelved it, but we did put a lot of effort into making these decisions, a ton of effort.
I know, but I'm saying, I mean, they would have been in the tournament regardless of when we rolled it out. I wish that it was too close for me not to have asked like 10 people to vote for, you know, them or London and Kendrick. I really wanted to win. That hurt me. I wish I fought more for them in terms of getting votes, but because those are two of my favorite tag teams like of all time.
Okay.
London and Kendrick and the world's greatest tag team.
All right. Anything else on the tournament?
No, that's about it.
All right. Because
save it for when Matt joins us on Monday.
We can go. Well, we'll have a better idea of results as of Monday anyway. But if you want actual numbers, if you want the analysis, you got to join Matt on the YouTube page. Don't forget to subscribe. Search for the Wizards Podcast on YouTube. Matt's been throwing some great shit out there. It's a lot of fun. And it's a little extra content that we're putting out. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Tired, man.
A couple things we need to get to. Did you watch the Vice special for what the hell do they call it? Beyond the Ring? Behind the Ring?
Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring. The new one. The two-parter about Mr. Chris Benoit. Did you get a chance to check it out?
I did. I watched it.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
I mean, we knew the story. But
there was a lot of stuff you didn't know that they brought out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of perspectives you never got before.
Real interesting stuff. Kind of creepy that they were showing like police photos from inside the house when they were doing the investigation. I mean, nothing graphic, but, you know, just interesting pictures, getting an idea of like where things happened and where things might have happened and whatnot.
Can I do a little before I forget?
Yeah, go ahead.
News.
Yeah.
I was watching. Colt Cabana was on Instagram Live last night.
Boom, boom.
And what he does is he'll select a fan, like whoever's watching, he'll select somebody to go in and talk to him and bullshit, whatever. And Chris Gethard requested and he was accepted and he revealed the panel for the New Jack post show. And for those of you who don't know, Chris Gethard is the host of the post show after dark or whatever it is. And the first show featured Chavo, who's an executive producer of Dark Side of the Ring, Chavo Guerrero. And Tommy Dreamer and a comedian, Ben Kissel, I want to say his name is.
His name's Kissel.
But the next one, the New Jack episode, the panel he revealed on Colt's Instagram, is Dreamer again, Sandman.
Oh, Christ.
And Mustafa.
Wow, that's a great get.
And someone, and he said there was a fourth person that they couldn't confirm yet because he wasn't confirmed yet. But so, I was surprised to see that Chris Gethard broke on Colt's Instagram Live that Mustafa was going to be on the panel for the next.
That's pretty huge. So now they do this live?
That's a good question. I mean, I think so.
But they wind up doing it. They're winding up doing it like not in person because of the whole, you know.
Yeah.
Virus, whatever shit thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it. I watched it, and I'll probably get to it, but I've heard mixed reviews on it.
Yeah, so. I'm not in a rush, but if Mustafa's going to be on there, I may have to jump on that myself, because that's pretty interesting. You don't hear too much about Mustafa. I don't really know of too many shoot interviews or any with him, to be honest with you, so.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea, man.
I wonder if he's got any comments, because years ago, New Jack in one of those which documentary was it? It might have been the hardcore reunion, whichever one that Meanie was involved in, where he goes, it had to have been that one. He goes, I told Mustafa I don't need him. I could dress my mother up to play him. I ain't got no love for Mustafa. I remember that shit. Because I was like, damn, he doesn't even get along with his partner. That's fucking crazy. Really wild.
Yeah, that is kind of wild.
Couple of takeaways. I didn't realize that there may or may not have been physical altercations between Nancy and Kevin Sullivan. And I also was not aware that there could have been or might have been physical confrontations with Nancy and Chris. That's some crazy shit, dude. That is some crazy shit.
Yeah, I think that's the first time that those details or speculated details were released. So, yeah. Getting Nancy's sister's, woman's sister's account of it, of the abuse that Benoit may have put her through. It's kind of crazy.
They even had some of the text messages where she was blaming steroids, telling him that he was like a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, pretty much a maniac, and that he wasn't calling his kid, and he wasn't there. And when he was there, he didn't seem like the nicest person to be around, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
You got to handle this situation so many years later with kid gloves still.
Also kind of weird was, you know, Chavo talked about getting all these texts, and I seem to remember he mentioned other people getting the same text, but nobody bothered to follow up on them, which I just found completely strange, you know? Like,
didn't they, though?
I don't think so, because he's like, the dogs are in the yard, and like I don't know. If I get a text like that from somebody, I'm kind of like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at the time, you don't want to sound an alarm for something that might be nothing.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm looking at things with hindsight, but just I don't know, man. It's really strange. There was that, dude, and then there was evidence that Chris Benoit was debating going to the pay-per-view. it was like he was trying to decide, should I go to the pay-per-view or should I end my life now, which is really fucking crazy. Could you imagine he shows up for the pay-per-view and then all of a sudden, you know, like something happens at the house and then they start finding this shit out? Like, how fucking weird that would have been. Like,
what if he got like locked up while he was in the middle of his match with CM Punk?
Just fucking nuts, dude. Like, it's really strange. Really strange.
That'd be great.
I don't know if it's necessarily excuses either, but I mean, Chris Nowinski, you know, he seems, I mean, I know he's like, you know, educated, and we found out with RVD's documentary, Headstrong, he fucking knows what he's talking about. And he had the proof showing that, you know, Chris's brain, he was pretty fucked up. And, you know, he made the point, Harley Race would drop the headbutt, told people not to do it anymore.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Fucking Dynamite Kid went out and started doing it. Then he started telling people not to do it anymore. And then fucking Chris Benoit winds up doing the same shit anyway. It's just really fucking weird how, like, these bad habits just seem to find their way to keep coming back into the business. It was a lot of shit, dude. There was a lot of shit packed into those 2 hours.
Yeah, it was, and some of it was really heartbreaking, especially with his son.
Yeah, yeah, with David. Yeah, that was down.
And it's weird. It's weird because like I was adamant, so adamant, when it first happened. Like, erase him from everything. Don't talk about him ever again. Like, I don't. He's a freaking murderer. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. I'm not gonna take any reason to keep him in my vocabulary. But then, like, when you start hearing guys, it was weird hearing, and you heard it then too, but like hearing Chris Jericho like talk about it now and saying that he won't, like, if you want me to, if you think I'm gonna sit here and bash Chris Benoit, change the channel.
Yeah, yeah,
or something like that.
Well, because he knows people are just like, you know, well, fuck that, he's a murderer, fuck him, we don't need to know anything about him, which I don't think is fair necessarily either.
I felt that way for a long time.
No, and I get it, and I get why people feel that way, but I guess, you know, Jericho is the kind of guy where he's like, look, I'm going to talk about it. If you don't like it, you don't have to hear it.
Yeah. And then even towards the end, I think it was like the final segment of the show, like Nancy Benoit's sister says that one day she'll be able to forgive Benoit too. So I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, if Chris Jericho can deal with it and Chavo and people that actually knew him, and even if Nancy Benoit's sister could one day forgive him, like, who am I to, like, and you gotta remember, he was my favorite wrestler at the time that this happened. Like, I feel like all my favorite wrestlers die, like, in the middle of their runs.
You gotta stop, like, picking favorites.
I'm not liking anybody anymore. Freaking Hawkins, knock on wood, will end up fucking in a river tomorrow.
Jesus, really? Take it easy there, killer.
I'm knock on wood for that.
JR, I like JR in this. I thought he was animated, and he was, you know, pretty much woman deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, which was an interesting point that they kept bringing up, which I don't disagree with. I think she did plenty in the business. I think she was a great character. Not so much in later years, because they kind of like just kind of stuck her as an also-ran like Elizabeth when it came to the NWO. But, dude, she did a lot of stuff at the beginning of ECW. She did a lot of stuff in the NWA. She did a lot of shit in Florida with Kevin Sullivan with all like the, you know, the Satan-worshipping stuff. So she had a huge part in the business. I don't know if necessarily her connection with Chris Benoit is going to prevent that from happening, you know, necessarily. But I could see them putting her in the Hall of Fame. Him? Still 100% no. They can't, dude. They just can't.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean, is Jimmy Snuka even considered in the Hall of Fame yet either? I don't
think. Yeah, I think so.
I thought they kind of took him out, like sort of like a Hulk Hogan thing when he was falling out with them over the whole N-bomb thing, but they may have not have put him back in. I'm not sure.
No, because after he passed, they still did videos and stuff for him.
They did. See, I don't remember.
Yeah, they did. They did at least one for him. So.
So what do you think?
So I don't.
What do you think, Benoit? Hall of Fame?
Oh, never.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And it was also, but what I found weird about the whole going back to JR was how he was treated so vitriolly at the wake.
Yeah.
Like, well, just because he was looked at as a WWE guy when JR knew him for a long time.
And why?
He was told to leave the wake.
I know, but now that like I'm thinking about this more, like why did they hate WWE so much at that point? You know what I'm saying? Like, do they blame WWE for pushing him so hard? Like, was that the connection they were trying to make?
It wasn't like an Owen Hart situation.
Because it's like Chris Benoit, like they all talked about it. Like, you know, he said where it was more like where Jericho and, like, you know, I forget if it was Perry Saturn or Eddie Guerrero. Like, he's like, we'd work out, but then we'd go have a cheeseburger. And that was like a foreign thing to Chris because that's how much more he was into it than they were. So if you're talking about somebody that's like high strung and this is all he ever, you know, was built for and was made to do, you know, I don't know how you could blame the company if he's pushing himself that hard despite of everything else, you know? I mean, did they get that pissy with Eddie Guerrero? Like, it didn't seem like Vicky Guerrero really hated WWE, you know, when the whole thing with Eddie happened. I mean, she worked for the company for years later.
Well, maybe because at this point there was a wellness policy in place, and maybe she thought that it was bullshit, and that's what happened. and that's why it happened. Like before Eddie, there was no wellness policy. So there was no.
Who? Somebody stood up for the wellness policy. It might have been Jericho, and then somebody else completely shit on it.
Jericho stood up for it, and
was it
think
Nancy's sister.
The
said it was
sister,
bullshit?
and then when they oh, and some like weird like detective guy or some weird like I don't even want to call him a detective. Some weird research. Remember that the weird guy that was just randomly in there? I guess he was either investigating it or doing research on the case.
Was it the guy that wrote the book?
Maybe.
Because he looked like he was like all like gussied up, like he had a neat haircut, he had a suit on and everything.
Yeah, and he was pooping on the wellness policy too. And when they said like when Benoit passed the test before he did it, he's like, yeah, somehow miraculously Benoit passed the test. And even when the sister was talking about it, they showed pictures up on the screen of text messages saying that the wellness policy was bullshit and this and that. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why WWE was vilified for it.
I don't know, they didn't see the signs. You kind of feel bad for JR because, you know, I mean, then again, maybe they also felt slighted because like nobody else could show up, you know. It was just a fucked up situation. Like they found out he murdered his family. I mean, what did you want him to do? You know,
yeah. That's
all they need to see is like Vince McMahon shows up at, murdering wrestler's funeral. Like that's kind of fucked up if you really think about it. I mean, I get the PR behind it, but I don't, it's just a tough situation all the way around, especially at that point in time when everything was still fresh. Like they even showed Vince when he came out the next day and he's like, you know, we found out some gruesome details. And he's like, and aside from what I'm talking about now, we'll never mention Chris Benoit again. And that's a right. Fucking heavy statement, dude. You know?
And I think Nancy Benoit's sister is also quoted by saying, by with Jim Ross there, she was afraid they were going to turn it into a work. And like, she saw a work coming a mile away.
That's what she said.
Or something
right.
like that.
Yes. Well, don't forget, too, they also showed a lot of footage from Owen Hart's funeral as well, and a lot of people shit all over that, rightfully so, I think.
They did on this?
No. When Owen Hart passed away, they had a lot of people at the funeral knowing that, Owen's widow, Martha, was not happy about everything, and nobody in the Hart family was at that point.
Yeah, you know? And WWE sent cameras.
Yeah, there. They sent everybody there with a camera crew. It was kind of fucked up. Really fucked up. I have to laugh, otherwise it's just fucking really sad.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could look at it one of two ways. You can look at it the way like Martha Hart's looked at it for all these years, saying that they just want to monetize.
I think is the word. We'll go with profitize. I like that.
Profitize from it, and by showing footage, maybe people would get numbers at a time where you know the Monday Night Wars was still a thing, or you could look at it like WWE just wanted to pay homage to Owen, but
yeah, maybe it was a thing where they just kind of felt badly about what happened. I mean, not taking any blame for it, but in the same sense, like here's a guy that you know was part of your crew and he died in an unfortunate accident. You know, we should go. Then again, don't bring the camera.
Yeah, the raw after, because they didn't show footage of the funeral till like the week after, so they could have probably not done that and still did the tribute show on the night after if they really wanted to, you know, show that what Owen meant to them. Just leave it with the tribute show that they did and not do it next week on the funeral.
Yeah, or you know, stop the pay-per-view ahead of time. But you know, it's fucking hindsight and it's nitpicking, but. It was just,
dude, a lot of people are comparing this. I don't remember if we talked about this on Monday. A lot of people are comparing Vince McMahon not canceling WrestleMania to not stopping the show after Owen died.
That's just fucking stupidity. That's absolute stupidity. I don't get that at all.
Comparing may have been the wrong word.
No, with some of the people out like, there, I would completely 100% say comparing. Absolutely. I think
like,
that's the
like
right
if because like if Vince didn't cancel the show after Owen, then he's definitely not going to cancel for this. So that's what people are saying, and it's saying how ludicrous it is, which I kind of agree.
Well, real quick, Bob, as we start to wrap it up, we found out Roman Reigns pulled out of WrestleMania, which is a big fucking blow, but completely 100% understandable considering he is a leukemia survivor and he's probably autoimmunocompromised. Is that the words that they go with? I don't know.
I believe it's prophetize.
Well, there you go. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. But
auto-prophetized.
So it's kind of fucked up. And we also found out that What's-His-Nuts was pulling out too. Was it Andrade? Somebody was pulling
Andrade. I don't know if he pulled out or whatever, but he's not going to be there.
Can't say I blame them, but on top of no crowds being there, on top of filming things ahead of time, on top of a whole bunch of other factors with everything going on, now you lose one of your big main events, you know? I was interested to see Roman Reigns against Goldberg. I wanted to see how that would play out. The nice thing is that they're stepping up, allegedly, don't know if it's for sure, but they're supposedly stepping up Braun Strowman to take his place, which Braun Strowman finally would be getting a championship match at WrestleMania, which is something I predicted like 2 years earlier when he was.
Did you just see that? Did you just see that text?
No, I didn't. What am I missing?
Matt chimed in and said that Miz is now out of WrestleMania as well.
Wow. That
I mean, we didn't even know. I mean, he didn't have opponents yet. It was either be New Day or the Usos tonight. So that's probably on hold too. Actually, SmackDown is probably really interesting right now.
It probably is. Well, we could wrap up in a second. Is there anything else that we need to cover aside from people pulling out? Yes. PWI Insider reports, I defend him when he's wrong, that SmackDown Tag Team Champion The Miz will not be working WrestleMania, even though he was in Orlando for the tapings. Miz is sick. That's the other thing. If you pop higher than 100.4, which is low-grade fever, they're taking you off 100%. So if he popped a fever, it's got to be high enough where they're like, you know what, we're not risking it.
Is that what that's what he said? He had a fever?
That's what it seems to be saying here. It says that he's sick. It wasn't said if he had coronavirus or what his symptoms were.
Well, I mean, it could just be that he has a cold, because this is I'm wondering now, because I have really bad pollen allergies. I'm wondering now, if the pollen allergies are going to affect me and make me more weirdly susceptible to this nonsense. Oh, Buddy Murphy out too.
Wow, for real? This is fucking crazy.
Matt just texted us that too.
Figure Four Weekly Daily Report has news on what match WWE held following The Miz being pulled. Morrison is facing one of the Usos in a ladder match. It's not known which Uso Morrison faced, whether the tag titles would change hands, or whether there are any other stipulations. WWE could officially announce more soon as tonight on SmackDown. Sounds like SmackDown is going to be interesting, and it's happening right now. I always DVR it, even though I don't really watch it half the time, so I may actually have to check this one out to see what's happening. Dude, WrestleMania is falling apart, and didn't they tape a whole bunch of it already? Didn't they tape some of it going into this week?
Yeah, what's today's date?
Today is the 27th of March.
Yeah, I think they were taping yesterday.
Dude, if anything, just to see how this all plays out, I'm like really interested now.
Yeah.
Because now there's a lot of different shit to talk about. Real quick, AEW was pretty interesting, even though they didn't have a crowd. They wound up putting people in the back, you know? Like they had a little camera. I mean, it was, you know what, the only thing that threw me off was like at one point you could tell that they were coming back and the people weren't ready for it because they were just standing around. And then literally a second later, they all started cheering again. It was kind of like the women's tag match on the first Raw with no crowd where everybody just stopped. I get a kick out of
right.
shit like
I think
that.
I think they went a little overboard with the people betting on the matches. I think it was funny like the first time with MJF and Sean Spears, but panning back to the locker room and seeing people – you know, betting money and stuff like that, I thought was a little much this week.
Yeah, it seems like there's I don't know. We'll get more into that on Monday. Plus, we'll have more with all the fallout. But I think this might be a good time to start wrapping things up. I don't want to knock on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks who are coming up in just a few minutes live on The Rant. If you are listening to us live, Kev, you got anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
No, just the Turnbuckle Throwback should be thanking us for this hell of a lead-in we're giving them.
I know, and we're bringing up all these surprises, and it seems like there's more surprises coming in, and I hope these guys are up on the ball, which I know they will be, so they'll cover all this stuff in great detail.
Phil and Choppy are like the Miz and Mrs. to our NXT.
Well, I mean, don't forget Jay. Jay could be...
Jay too, yeah, of course. Of course, Jay.
Fucking Jay's
big
our favorite.
Pump.
How could you forget our favorite member of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, dude?
Now, those guys always kill it. I'm gonna be watching along and chiming in on the old Facebook. So
I'll be in too. If my wife and my kid aren't mad at me for disappearing for this long, I might actually jump in on their conversation and give them a hard time. Especially that fucking mook with his bare feet Probably climbing the walls of his house with them toenails of his.
Wait. Chubby. I know you're not making fun of somebody for walking around.
Yeah, but I groom myself. You know what? If I dropped food on my foot, I would still feed it to you. That's how great.
Fair enough.
Kevin almost threw disgusting. Up in his mouth. It's so great. Well,
and that's how we should end it.
Of course, a couple minutes away from a new live Turnbuckle Throwbacks on lockdown due to the Corona nonsense. Jeez, I can't even talk. And we will join you. Matt will be with us. We will be live on Skype again Monday night. Don't miss it. Pay attention because things are fucking wild and crazy and changing by the minute. Say goodnight, Sting.
Ah.
You're not saying goodnight, Sting? Oh, Kevin's allergies are acting up. All right, everyone. We're done. We'll see you Monday. Good night. Turnbuckle Throwbacks next.